Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we have with us Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of the great city of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Thanks, Andrew. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, I have to start with the least important thing in the whole universe of constellations around your authority as mayor right now. Bro, what's with the porn stash?
Because we were watching
the press conference from yesterday, and we both had the exact same reaction.
Well,
we're like,
if you look over the last 3 years, if you've been doing your research over the last 3 years, it's been a couple times the first week of November because I've got a Ted Lasso costume that I throw on in a pinch for Halloween. So, but you know, once you commit to that, you know, you know, it doesn't grow back the next day. So you gotta
next 6 months if you're me. So I'm just jealous. But okay. Yeah. All right. So it's a costume. Oh, and so last week you told me you were going to be J.D. Vance and you turn out to be Ted Lasso. Bro.
I know, but I have to wear a suit all the time. You know, it's more comfortable to wear a coat.
All right. Fair enough. On to serious matters. I know the Reimagine Palafox is a very big thing, and I want to talk about that. But I want to just get some clarity in the American Magic story because there's an awful lot of snarky, dismissive, contemptuous, oh, we spent all this money and what did we get for it? We're not even in the America's Cup. Why don't they rename it? That kind of gist online, I see a lot of that. And I just wanted to give you a chance to address the significance or not of the American Magic team declining to participate due to what they called politics.
Right. Well, first of all, as I mentioned yesterday, I couldn't be more bullish on the project as we sit on this phone call today than frankly what we expected when we started this process. There's really two buckets of importance I see in this project, both fully on the table and actually have grown beyond our expectations. First is the manufacturing job creation side. When this process started, it was focused primarily around sailing with kind of a secondary value of manufacturing job growth. Now, they have job requirements, right, per Triumph money, all of those types of things, but that was kind of secondary. But because of the type of work they do and working with composites and all that stuff, they are literally turning away work right now based on workload. So the demand for their expertise is significantly higher than I think any of us expected. I mean, for example, they've already hired several students at Pensacola State at UWF. They've already built those programs because of just the pent-up demand that they have for their work that can translate to spacecraft, it can translate to boats, et cetera. So that is going infinitely better than we expected this early before they even moved into their building.
Right.
Frankly, they've already got a full building next door. So on the job creation, economic development side, things are going great. And then, as I said, this is really their news to share, but as I have, you know, they've obviously kept me in the loop on how things move on the sailing side. I have the utmost confidence that they will continue to be on the forefront of international sailing. That's what I can tell you. Now, the analogy for sports fans I've been using, it's a golf analogy, is the America's Cup's like the Ryder Cup. That's every 2 or 3 years. But there are other things that are like the PGA Tour or like LIV that are happening on the international scale every month, every few months. There are other avenues that put you in the forefront of international sailing other than the America's Cup. And so again, they are exploring those, and that's their news to share at the time that they want to share it. But what I can tell you is I met with Doug DeVos, the principal of the team, the CEO, the COO. They flew in on Monday night. I had a 3-hour meeting with them to kind of talk through some of those things. And again, I could not be more excited for this project. And when the dust settles, there will be zero impact of that in terms of what was promised and committed to in Pensacola. And they certainly gave us their full unwavering commitment that they want to be here and they want to be here for the long term.
And you've got, as you're kind of been hinting at, the lots of other spinoff races, you know, all the different things that are coming, even, you know, came last year, are going to be coming in the future. And so there's other things besides this. And I think a lot of people perceive it that way. I think sometimes I find myself perceiving it that way too, because I don't know this field very well. And I think, well, that's the only thing going on. The Super Bowl is all there is in football. Well, no, there's actually a lot of other stuff too. So that's a good perspective. And that's why I wanted to ask you about it. All right. Switching gears a little bit for the Reimagine Palafox. You and I have talked about this quite a bit, but you have now had a chance to meet with the owners. You've met with the businesses. You've, you know, you're having, there's another meeting today that's being called by the city council. You've put out this letter where you've asked the owners, landlords, to reduce their rent by $10,000 over the course of 6 months. And if they do that, they'll get their name on a plaque. You've asked for parking alleviation. You've asked for a bunch of things and participation. So, what else is there really that we don't know, either what was the byproduct of these meetings or what are we going to learn today during the meeting?
Yeah, well, let me set the table on this in the fact that this has been a multi-year process, multi-year. So I know that it seems like this is moving quickly or that this is relatively new. I think that's just because of the intensity of the conversation around it. We had meetings with those same groups in the summer going through design, right? Hey, we've got to design something so we can RFP it. We made changes to those things. And so, I think obviously the property owners overwhelmingly, it was about, 28-2 on the property owners that wanted to do it. And of course, business owners, as I told them, I have been a downtown business owner. I certainly sympathize and understand with what inconvenience looks like. But, there are other things at the end of the tunnel here that I think need to be factored in, like 1,700 feet of stormwater pipe running down Palo Fox Street. If we just go repave the road like FPL was going to, that doesn't get put in. The pedestrian improvements and the bicycle improvements, that there's actually a place to, park a bike and you can actually feel safe being on a bike on Palo Fox Street. We think those things matter. 46 ADA improvements matter. So you can guarantee someone hasn't looked into it when they say, well, this is a vanity project or it's an aesthetic project. Mm-hmm. It's an aesthetic project only because we're already tearing up the road to put in major infrastructure improvements that have to take place. And frankly, that's why we got here. Why are we even having this conversation? It's because FPL was going to repave the road with just asphalt. That's it. And we were going to have to close Palo Fox Street for what we estimate as at least 2 months. So then the conversation, we looked at each other and said, well, man, this is a once in a generation. We're not going to cut this road up very much. Why don't we go put all of these key infrastructure improvements in now when the road, so we only have to close the road once. So that's the irony of, the criticism of closing the road is the only reason we're even sitting here having this conversation is because we want to only close the road once. We actually want to minimize the amount of inconvenience. And when you add stormwater that can fill half of an Olympic-sized swimming pool in terms of capacity, all of those storefronts have flooded at some point or have had issues. So, again, we're trying to be smart about how we use our time and how we use inconvenience to other people. That's how we've ended up in this project, and it's why we've been talking about it for the better part of 2 years. And why are we moving it forward at this pace? Well, because we want to start on January 5th, where it's the least impactful to the businesses. That doesn't help the city one way or the other. We could start January, we could start March, we could start April. We're wanting to start in January because that's what we pledged to the business owners that when we are going to close for a few months, let's do it during the least impactful months, after the holiday season, all of that. So we're trying to meet a deadline that helps the business owners, not necessarily one that makes any impact to the city operation.
I'm not sure. I assume that Deborah Dunlap has been one of the people that you've talked to in all this because she owns a bunch of property. But she was the reason I mentioned her. She's a dear friend. But WAR had a letter from her in which she talked about the impact that this is having on her because, if you own vacation rentals downtown for a while, nobody's going to want those on Palo Fox and that's going to sit vacant. Or, this business property she's got for like 4,500 square feet, which, people are basically saying, well, we'll wait until after the construction is done, which makes sense. You don't want to launch a brand new endeavor when you're going to be facing, six out of your first 8 months in business are going to be a problem. How much of an adversity are you really anticipating? I know you're a business owner. I know you care. I know this is a project that has to happen. It's never going to be convenient to do. But really, from your perspective, having talked to everybody now, how big of a problem is this going to be?
Well, listen, that all becomes predictive. And number one, Debbie Dunlap has shown her approval for this project. Mm-hmm. And again, I think the vast, vast majority of property owners are on board because they've been through floods, they've been through these issues, and I think they understand. And that's what happened is we were able to present facts. There was lots of speculation made last week when I hadn't even met with the construction company myself. So, so I'm listening to criticisms of a project of which I know aren't based in anything because we haven't even met with the contractor post bid. So once we were able to share those facts with everybody on Wednesday and Thursday, you know, I think the dynamics changed in the sense that we understand the stormwater. We understand all of these things that now we've been talking about for a year, but now it's kind of back on the front burner. And you know, to be able to share that. To your question, I mean, I think that's completely speculative, but I think the fair thing to say is, and I think it's very important for your listeners to understand too, is the sidewalks will be open the entire time. The entire time. So there, it's not as if there's ever a moment where you're not going to be able to walk in the front door or the back door of any place on Palafox Street if they have a back door. So those will stay. The fence line is literally at least 6 feet for ADA requirement, away from the front door on the entirety of the space. So you can support all your favorite businesses, and I want you to support all your favorite businesses on Palafox. But to your question, I bet it, you know, I think it depends on the industry. If you're going to see your attorney, I'm guessing no impact.
Right.
If you're going to dinner and you're already parking on Balin or you're parking on Jefferson or whatever anyway, I don't think your experience is going to be that much different. As a matter of fact, there are going to be pedestrian tunnels put strategically east and west where you'll actually be able to walk across Palafox, at least every block or so. So even that, it's not like you'd have to go around as a pedestrian all the way to the north or to the south. I don't think the experience, there's a lot of talk around it, but I mean, when you think about if me and you went to dinner or went to lunch, I don't know that your experience is going to change very much, other than, of course, you're going to have the noise and you're going to have the fences. The same thing you see when you're in the French Quarter of New Orleans. You're on the sidewalk, but there's road happening in the street. And I think the businesses that count on foot traffic, obviously, the T-shirt stores and stuff like that, might feel something more of an inconvenience than a law firm or an architect or something like this. So I think it depends on who you are. But again, I am fully confident. We've put up $1 million+ in potential support for the businesses. And if you look at projects around the country, go look at 16th Street in Denver, a massive project. And they gave $1.2 million to their businesses for like a $300 million project. We're giving over $1 million on about a $9 million project. So, at the end of the day, we are doing our best. We're giving away 414 free parking spaces around the entire area. So, what I would challenge folks is if they think, I would certainly do your research, listen to the workshop, and kind of read everything that we've put up. I can tell you this, we have never, this is an unprecedented level of support that the city has given on a project like this. There's no way that it's happened in the history of the city.
Just a very quick one, because we're almost totally out of time, but to me, as you've said many times, it's an adult decision between real alternatives, and if you only do the repaving, you don't get the stormwater benefits, right? And so there's, the question is, to me, for the people who don't want this done, have they been clear with you about what alternative they do prefer? Do they want just the repaving? Do they want something without the aesthetic changes? Have they given you the, well, what are we willing to endure if we're not willing to endure this? Has that been made clear to you at all?
And listen, Andrew, that's a great question, because that is the challenge. What ends up happening is there's these undoable hybrid solutions presented that say, well, let's go back to FPL, but then add crosswalks and then add this and then add this. And I told the business owners on Thursday, that quite literally is what this project is.
Right.
The one that's in front of you right now, it's saying, okay, let's do the FPL thing, plus add stormwater, plus get the curbs right, plus put 51 trees in, 13,000 square feet of pervious, 46. We have a completely non-compliant Palafox Street ADA-wise, almost. We are adding 46 improvements to that. So I mean, I think there's this perception of a delta between the project that is in front of council right now and all of these different iterations of a lesser project. No, we did exactly what people have said. And so, that's why I tried to warn them and say, listen, there aren't these hybrid projects that can happen where you say, this has already gone out to bid. I mean, you can't start value engineering substantively the project after a formal bid. That's why we went through everything we did for the last year. And why we had all those meetings, is to talk about the design. So again, I think we're in a good place. I think once people understood some facts, on that this is an infrastructure project, not just an aesthetic project, and didn't make those assumptions, then you know, I think we got a little bit better understanding across the board.
And also, look, there's a bit of the Pensacola factor, which is that anything you do, no matter how good or how terrible, there will always be opposition. The question is on the other side, where do people stand after it's been done? And, you know, time will tell the answer to that. All right, we always like to finish with a little bit of a lightning round. Interesting study I was reading recently about how people pay for things. The top method of payments are credit card and debit card. Third is cash, but younger people are paying with their phones, like 45% of people. So first question for you, what's your primary way of paying for things?
It is a card. And, you know, I can tell you in the hospitality business right now, it's about 85 or 90% or has been, you know, credit card.
Okay.
Cash is becoming more and more rare. I'm a credit card guy, though.
I thought you might be a phone guy because John, my producer, is a phone guy. I was curious.
If I left my wallet in the car or something.
You know, gotcha. All right. Do you carry cash? If so, how much?
Not much.
By the way, John carries $3 and I carry 150. So, you know, the range could be anywhere here.
I know. I probably should carry more. And, you know, in case somebody, you know, thinks about grabbing my wallet, I usually don't have cash.
I gotcha.
So don't worry about that.
Okay.
If I run into it somehow because of, you know, I had to go to the ATM and pay cash or something, that's probably the only time I really have cash in my wallet.
And then the last one for you is, when it comes to food and expiration dates, are you an always obey them, sometimes obey them, don't care whatsoever about them? Are you the smell test guy or the date look at guy?
This is very simple. I have taken archaic presumptions about how long you can go past expiration without researching them, just remembering them from my childhood. And have stuck to those. So, like, you know,
milk plus three.
But other than that, I don't take a lot of chances. You know, if I'm over those, I'm throwing it out.
Okay, so you don't just go by if it smells or tastes bad. You actually trust the date to some degree within a range.
How long do you think milk can go past the expiration?
Yeah. Okay, all right, fair enough, very good.
How long do you think
for milk?
Yes.
Oh, it's completely variable. Yeah. It depends on the gallon. I've had milk go bad before the expiration date, and I've had other milk a week later. It's okay. It's just, you know, it just depends. So I'm a sniff and taste guy. That's my approach. DC Ree, is always good to talk to you. We look forward to the meeting today. The city council meeting's next week. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.